Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be back with you, and I know you've thoroughly enjoyed Jim's teaching alongside as we've partnered together to teach through this great series on the attributes of God. This is our 11th week to study through different attributes of God, and as we've done that, I've heard several of you have shared with me and grabbed me in the hallway or maybe shared after Sunday school how this particular study has really taken you even deeper in your relationship with Christ. It's reminded you just at the right time of the truth of God and who He is in your life and in our lives. And thank you so much for sharing that. And that is so true. As we get to know Him, and we'll spend a lifetime, even yes, an eternity, getting to know and worshiping our God, as we do that even now, He takes us deeper and deeper into great intimacy, and He increases our faith in Him as we study His Word, as we stand on His promises, as we stand on who He is and His attributes. Then it's amazing what God does to build us up in our faith in Him, to give us a joy that is unable to be explained, even in our own words, to anyone else. It's a joy within, and it's He builds up our faithfulness. So far, we've studied through, and we'll have one more week next week. It's going to be on the love of God. But so far, we've studied that God is self-existent. He had no beginning. He is self-existent. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times for all eternity. He does not change. He's immutable. He never changes. He's sovereign, eternal King, and Lord over all. That He's all-powerful. He's an omnipotent God. That He is all-knowing. And that God is holy. Holy, holy. And that God is merciful. And He's a God of wrath. And also He's a God of great grace, immeasurable grace. And Tozer said this, A.W. Tozer said, the inspired writers were men of like passion with us, dwelling in the midst of life. What they learned about God became to them a sword and a shield, a hammer. It became their life motivation, their good hope, and their confident expectation. From the objective facts of theology, their hearts were made how many thousand joyous deductions and personal application. How well written and how so true. To study and to know God and to meditate on His greatness, to take all of these attributes that are perfectly and beyond what we could even understand or even explain, and that they're all true at the same time, and to meditate on those and take one each week to highlight, but to remember they all line up and they all are there together, brings unbelievable joy, many thousand joyous deductions, as he said, and personal applications in our own life. Today we're going to study the faithfulness of God. As I've studied and as I meditate over time and even the last couple of weeks of God's faithfulness, and think of the truth and to meditate on how He's revealed that gives us unbelievable joy as well. It gives us great comfort to know our God is faithful. It moves us to faithfulness. It moves us to great faith in Him. As we study through, and faithfulness in the scripture means to be trustworthy, to be true, to be certain, to be committed, stable, fully reliable, firm, and secure. And God being faithful, and as He reveals Himself that He is faithful, means that God is fully trustworthy, that in all His ways and all He says and all He does, He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He's sure. He's true. He will always hold to His word. He will fulfill every one of His promises. He will never lie. He will never mislead us. He will never waver. He is God. He is faithful. He's true. and completely trustworthy in all that he is and all that he does. God is faithful, and he declares his faithfulness to us in his word. And so, as we've done on each one of these attributes, we're going to do a overview. We're going to study the scripture. We're going to just highlight what he says about his attribute and ask his spirit, even now, God, penetrate my soul to know and believe and stand on this truth of who you are. For you are a faithful God. And that's what he says. He is the faithful God in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God says, hey, God is faithful. I am faithful. It is true. He's trustworthy. He's great in his faithfulness. He tells us in Lamentations 3:21 through 23, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. It gives us unbelievable hope to know God and to know who he is. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great, great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. That his faithfulness, that great word is exceeding. It means immeasurable. It means wonderful. It's far more than what we can imagine. When we say great is his faithfulness, it is beyond what we could comprehend. And in fact, God tells us that he is abundant. He is abounding in his faithfulness. In Psalm 86:15, he says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God is abounding in his faithfulness. His faithfulness is abundant. It overflows. You cannot find the end of his faithfulness. It is abounding and full and overflowing. In fact, it's immeasurable and infinite. That's expressed from the psalmist in Psalm 36:5. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your faithfulness is immeasurable. It's infinite. It goes beyond the clouds. It goes beyond what I can understand. It's immeasurable and infinite. And his faithfulness, he is faithful because he is faithful. He's faithful in all that he does. And so he tells us, I am faithful in all that I do, and my word is faithful. Everything I am is faithful. In Deuteronomy 32:4, speaking of God, the rock, he says, the rock, his work is perfect, and all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. A God of faithfulness. Our God is a God of faithfulness, and in all his ways are just and true and right and holy, because he's a holy and right and just and true God, and he's faithful. Everything he does is faithful in all his works. And also his faithfulness endures. His faithfulness endures. It is unfailing. Sometimes we may not feel that truth of God, of his faithfulness. Sometimes we wrestle with it, but we can be sure that our God's faithfulness is enduring, and it's unfailing. Psalm 119:90 says, your faithfulness endures. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. God's faithfulness endures. It endures in all times, all seasons, all circumstances, no matter what's coming our way, no matter how we feel, no matter how crazy things look and seem around us, even in our questions, he is faithful. His faithfulness, he endures forever, and his faithfulness endures forever. He's all powerful in his faithfulness. He's sovereign in his faithfulness. He's unchanging in his faithfulness. He's eternal God. Therefore, his faithfulness endures. It endures to all generations. He is faithful forever and ever. And he is faithful and he cannot deny himself. And these are, again, all the ways or several ways he revealed himself. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we're faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. No matter what's going on with us, no matter what's going on again around us, we can know this for sure. God will never deny himself. He will never not be who he is to the immeasurable degree. He will never not be faithful. He is faithful right where you are, right where I am, and all that's going on. He is faithful and true. He is the faithful God. He's declared it over and over again in all these passages and many more that we're about to read and those that we're about to land on is he and his faithfulness that he's declared, he also demonstrates his faithfulness. Because he's a faithful God, and that is his character, then all that he does is faithful. And so he demonstrates that faithfulness in his relationship with us and in the world around us and throughout all eternity. Let's look at a few of those. In keeping his covenant with his people, he's faithful. He demonstrates his faithfulness with you. If you're a child of God, if you're a son or daughter of the Lord, if he's your heavenly Father, he holds you faithfully in his covenant. He loves you dearly, and nothing can separate you from his love. He says, nothing can pluck you out of his hand. Nothing can separate you from my love, says God. I don't care what it is, who it is, anything, the devils, the demons, the world, yourself, nothing can, because you have a covenant God who's called you to himself, and nothing can separate you from him. He will keep his covenant with his people. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love to those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Our God keeps his covenant. And he demonstrated his faithfulness in his plans. In his plans for us, Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure. God's word tells us that man can't thwart the plans of God. Man can't thwart the plans of God. Our God's plans are sure. What he has set forth, and as a sovereign God, he is going to assure that those things are going to happen for his glory, and ultimately we will see for our good. For his glory, his plans are sure, and we cannot thwart it. He's a sovereign God. He'll fulfill every one of his plans that he's called you into as his sons and daughters. You can be sure he demonstrates his faithfulness in fulfilling every one of his plans and fulfilling every one of his promises. The scripture says every promise of the Lord, every promise of God is amen in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we can stand on them. They are sure. They are true. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Isn't that great news? That every one of the promises of God are sure and true, and we can stand on them. In a world that seems to be wavering, we have a God who never wavers. In things that seem unsure, that we know we have a sure God, a God that we can stand on, a God who is faithful, and his word is faithful, and his promises are faithful. He will fulfill every promise. He has fulfilled many promises. He's in the middle of fulfilling promises. He will fulfill every promise that he's given, period. And that is amen in Christ Jesus. And then also, praise the Lord, He demonstrates His faithfulness in forgiving us of all our sins. When we trust Him as our Lord, and when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and surrender our life to Him and trust in Him and Him alone as our Savior and Lord, at that is the point He comes in and He forgives us of all our sins. In 1 John 1:9, He says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we read in Revelation 1:5 that, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the from the dead, and the ruler of kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. Praise the Lord, God in His faithfulness, that He has freed us from all our sin. We were once red as scarlet, and now we're white as snow. He tells us in His Word, He forgave us of our sin, and He cast them as far as the east is from the west. They're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven if you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Isn't that great news? That God demonstrates His faithfulness to us in Christ Jesus on the cross and forgiven us of all our sins. And also in sanctifying and perfecting us. You know, we looked at this a couple weeks ago and we'll look at it now again. For in Philippians 1:6 says, for I am confident that of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is sanctifying us. He's making us and conforming us into the image of Christ. He is faithful to sanctify us and to perfect us, to continue to mold and make us into the image of Christ, to knock away those things that we're clinging to that are not of Christ, the things of this world or the things of our flesh, the idols of our life, I think as someone mentioned or prayed. You know, God is taking those away and He's perfecting us and moving us and conforming us into His image. He's faithful to do that. And He does that sometimes in His discipline of us because He loves us. And so He's faithful to discipline the ones He loves. The psalmist knew this and proclaimed it in Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that Your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness You've afflicted me. In God's faithfulness, He afflicts us to move us to be more like Him and to understand Him and to know Him and to not be carried away by the world or by our flesh, or not to be moved away to worship false gods, but to hold us to Him, the one and only true God. He comes in and He lovingly disciplines us. Hebrews 12 has several verses on that, a couple of them, verse 6 and 10. For the Lord disciplines the one that He loves, and He chastises every son whom He receives. And then verse 10, and they, speaking of earthly fathers, and they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But He, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. God is faithful and loving, and He's faithful in disciplining us to move us to godliness, to be more like Him. And then also He's faithful. He demonstrates His faithfulness in us and to us, to establish us and to guard us. Okay, and 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says this, but the Lord is faithful. Are we getting it yet? It's like every verse. The Lord is faithful. Over and over, God wants you and me to know He is the faithful God. Because I think so often when things seem unsure, as we're walking through a tough life, it's sometimes we wonder, is He really faithful? Yes, He is. He's faithful. He's going to hold to every word. He's going to hold to every promise. He's going to hold to everything, and He is. And He says, I will establish and I will guard you. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that He's faithful. He has established us in Christ positionally. He will establish us and continue to keep us. That establish means to set you fast, to hold you tight, to keep you there. He will, He has, and He will set you fast in Christ. And you are secure in Jesus. And He says that He will establish you and He will guard you. He will preserve and keep you in Christ. And that's the next thing, that He will make sure that we persevere. He will make sure that the believers, the true children and the true daughters and the sons of God, His children, He will make sure that we persevere to the end, to either Christ comes back or until we meet Him when it's our time, at the appointed time when we meet Him. He will make sure that we persevere, and He will glorify us. He will make sure to do that. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. One of my favorite verses in Thessalonians says this: "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's a prayer that Paul's praying in a sense here at the end of this letter, and then he makes a statement in verse 24. "He who calls you is faithful." Our God who calls you, who elected, who set you apart, who brought you into a relationship with Him, that's that calls. "He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." You can bet on it. It's a fact. Our God will surely do it. What will He surely do? He will surely do what He just prayed would happen. He will surely sanctify you completely. He will surely, you are set apart for Him. You're holy positionally. He's going to make sure you are sanctified. The scripture says you're being sanctified and you will be sanctified, meaning you are set apart by Him, by the Spirit of God. He is continuing to conform you in the image of Christ. And one day, you will be like Him. You will be glorified. And in fact, that's what He says now. "And He will keep you blameless." And He will keep you blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ returns, if we're alive, at that moment, we will be joined with Him and we will be made like Him. And we will be blameless and holy at that moment. He will do what He's doing now. Positionally, He has given us His holiness, His righteousness. At that moment, He will glorify us and we'll be righteous and holy with Him by His Holy Spirit. Amen. He will.
Can I connect us back? Okay, that point. Connect you back.
Say it loud enough so they can hear you too.
Okay. Back in the first section, 2 Timothy 2.
Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy 2, looking that up, and I always remember so you've got 13, but 12 says, "If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will also disown us." And then it says, "If we are faithless, He will remain faithful."
Mm-hmm.
He cannot disown Himself. For some reason, I think it was when I was growing up, the communists, it was all about us and the communists. And, mm-hmm. and I used to hear things, if you're arrested by the godless communists and you disown Christ at that point, what I heard was, and it wasn't being preached, I just heard, that at that point, if I disown Him, I'm out. Mm-hmm. I mean, God mm-hmm. will disown me, I think, from that verse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always interesting, the juxtaposition there, that right after it says, "If we disown Him, He will disown us. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful."
Mm-hmm.
So could you kind of talk? I mean, I think you're hitting that by these Thessalonians verse and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a reminder of us that really it doesn't come down to our ability to hang on.
Amen.
It's His faithfulness.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you said it. I mean, you just said it. Absolutely. Absolutely. That if you, remember Jesus, that whole section, verse 8, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in the gospel, in my gospel, for which I'm suffering, bound by chains, a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. So this was a saying that was being said and now penned by the Holy Spirit for us to have. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. And so for the faithful, for those who are holding on to Christ, he says, if we died with him, we will also live with him. We'll never die, those who are in Christ. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And so as we walk with him, as we endure, we reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And if we're faithless, he remains faithful. So what there is always in the scripture, there's God is faithful and he will remain faithful and he's going to hold you. And those who are true believers in Christ will remain and will hold to him. In fact, from what the scripture teaches in Hebrews and others, as true believers, if we get to and we resist and we wrestle, his discipline will come in and move us to him, or he'll take us home. And those who are not believers, though, who do not hold to him, as the scripture says, those who went out from us were never of us. There will be some that are tares among wheat. I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. But those will, at a time, potentially go out from us. They're a part of the covenant family that they've just never trusted in Christ himself. And those who might be faithless without faith don't change his character because he's still faithful. So we hold on to him knowing he's faithful. So really in this passage, that particular thing's teaching is that there are some who are without faith in Christ, but that doesn't change who he is. And I know what you're saying, the passages I'm hitting on, the other passages on assurance are weighty and are there. This passage is really setting those who endure and then the faithless. It's all about who Jesus is and that he remains faithful in the midst of all those. So, but as far as those who will endure, all those who are true believers will endure to the end. And so, does that? Yeah.
Pastor Reader encouraged us to read the Martyr's Oath at the conference. Did you pick that up? You ought to read it. Because it is incredible the way, well, it's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. You just got an assignment.
I think I'm going to be a martyr.
It is testimony after testimony after testimony of people who come through a program in a very difficult part of the world where there's great persecution of Christians, and they take the martyr's oath. Mm-hmm. And in that, they not only say, I will die for this name, but I will love those while they are persecuted. They take this oath verbally, and then the author follows some of these people who have survived the persecution, most of them not, but some of them have survived. And it says at one point, because people are being persecuted, and they're watching their families being murdered, and all they have to do is say, Allah is God, or whatever, and they refuse to say it. And the author says, the Western mindset is, you're probably sitting there thinking, why don't you just say it? God will forgive you. And he said, that was never.
Mm.
And I was so convicted because I'm sitting there going, just say it, for heaven's sake, they won't murder your children. And God will forgive you. You know, but it's okay. That will never occur to them. Because they have been so spiritually for persecution. And it just would be a great encouragement to read that and see from that perspective.
Yeah.
You know, kind of that different mindset. But then the rest of you are so rich.
I remember thinking of that as a kid, hearing. I will fold like a cheap suit. I'm out. You know. And I'll figure it out later. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a great book.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, I could read. I'm sitting here and turned to several passages as you're talking. I'll just read this for encouraging and exhorting us in the what John's saying that he's sure to keep us. He's sure to guard us. He's sure to cause us to persevere, not only the passage I just read, but the very point, a very common one, I think, for us and at Briarwood that we read and study over and over and over, but is one that we should read over and over and over, is in Romans 8. And about this very point of no matter what we do, no matter what the world does, no matter what, God has will hold us and will keep us. And he says, what shall you say then? This is in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Period. In my Bible, there's a period. You know, really. If God's for us, who can be against us? Okay, period. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him, with Christ, graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed is interceding for us. You're sure and true. You're held sure. Christ has saved you. He's interceding for you. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? What? Who shall separate us? Shall tribulation or distress? Persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword itself? Persecution, can it separate us from the love of God? For it's written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're conquerors, even more than conquerors, in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's because he's glorified no matter what happens. Because he's glorified, that we would endure and glorifies him. That makes us more than conquerors. We're not conquerors. We're more than, because God is glorified. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, that includes you, me, nothing, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That makes that point unbelievably sure and true, that we can know that God is faithful, and he will make sure that we persevere, that we will glorify him, and he will glorify us in the end. Well, let me keep running through here a little bit. The next way that he demonstrates it is he will demonstrate his faithfulness as the righteous judge in the day to come. In Revelation 19:11 says, "And then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war." He says, our Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, sitting on this white horse, or that he will judge faithful and true. He is faithful and true, and he will judge. Now, every name that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those he has already given us his righteousness. And he will say, enter in, my good and faithful servants, enter in to my love, enter into my kingdom. And then also he demonstrates his faithfulness in all his attributes and actions, and we've hit that already. And so he's declared his faithfulness. He has demonstrated, and will demonstrate his faithfulness. What does that do to us? What does that do to us? What's some of our responses? According to the scripture, here's a few of them, a few passages. One, it does an incredible work in our own walk with God. He takes us into deep intimacy. He moves us to great faithfulness to him because of his faithfulness to us. And you see that in just that Hebrews 10, 22 through 24. If you study Hebrews 10, you see he speaks of his great love and all that he's done, and right before that, once for all, Christ died for you and for me. He paid our penalty. He forgave us of all our sin, and then it moves through the passage. It comes to 22, and we have three responses to this great gospel of the faithful God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider to stir up one another into love and good deeds. And so three responses really outlined there after the big emphasis on God's faithfulness in the gospel, because he who promised is faithful, he says here, is that we would draw near to God. We would draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith in him, that we would draw near and that we would hold fast. We'd hold fast to the confession of our hope or our assurance. We would hold fast to Christ. We would hold fast to his word. And then also then that we would show that love that John was speaking of even before, and he prayed that that we would stir up and love one another and stir up one another to love and good deeds. Another response is in our trusting God, in our following God, in our faithfulness to him. 1 Peter 4:19 says, therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. You see, as we understand our God is faithful, he's the faithful Creator, he's the faithful God, as we understand and meditate and decide, we are going to bank our life on this, okay? That's what we do on who God is, on all his attributes, and he is the faithful Creator. That's what we do, then all of a sudden we've entrusted our soul to him. We entrust our soul to the faithful Creator, that his word is true, his promises are true. We entrust our soul, and we entrust our soul, therefore we pursue to do what is right. We pursue holiness. We have a desire to follow him, because his faithfulness moves us to great faith, which moves us to faithfulness. Okay, that's how it works. As we trust in and know his faithfulness, our faith in him causes us to walk out and to know and walk out in his promises and to walk out in it on his word and to know those are sure. Therefore, we become faithful. Because when we're not faithful, we believe that we know better than God. But when we know he knows better than us, all of a sudden our faithfulness increases. We grow in faithfulness in him. We also have hope in God alone, that Christ is the anchor of our soul. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchanging character of his promise, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul, a hope that endures unto the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever under the order of Melchizedek. So our assurance in who he is and what he's done for us, he becomes the anchor of our soul, Christ does, and then our worship of him. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. This is over and over and over. With my mouth, I will make known his faithfulness to all generations. The psalmist, in different psalms, proclaims this. We will, the overflow of knowing he's faithful is we will proclaim his faithfulness to him in worship and to those around us. So we see that God has declared his faithfulness. He's demonstrated his faithfulness, and it has a great impact on us and our lives. It gives us great assurance. It gives us deep peace. It gives us a wonderful, undescribable comfort in our soul to know that he's faithful. It enriches our worship. It strengthens our faith. It moves us into a more meaningful relationship with God. And his faithfulness inspires us to walk with him faithfully. Well, time's gone. We kind of already had some of our sharing time, but let me close with this. I'm going to close with reading the first stanza of a great hymn, and then I'll pray. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. God is a faithful God, and he's faithful to you. He's faithful to you. He's being faithful. He will be faithful. Hold on to God. Hold on to his faithfulness. Hold on, because it is sure and true. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for today, of being able to study and look at your faithfulness. And thank you, God, that you are faithful. You are true. You're just. You're holy. You're right and true. We can trust in you because you are trustworthy. You're worthy of all trust because you are the faithful God. In all your glory and all your promises and all your word, you are faithful. So today we trust you and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your faithfulness. In Christ's name, amen.